Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven. How amazing it is that you and I can walk up to the only God, the God, the one who holds all power and might, the holy, majestic God who created all things, and yet we can walk up to Him and we can say, Father, just like dear children. Hallowed be thy name. We marvel that in his word he reveals himself to us, tells us who this God is, reveals his name to you and to me so that we can know that we have forgiveness, know that we are saved, and rejoice in the fact that that name is kept holy among us as we teach that word that he's revealed to us and as we live that word that he's given to us. As you and I marvel at the things that we've talked about over the last 2 weeks, now we turn our attention to the second petition, as you and I pray, Thy Kingdom Come. You see the insert in your update that has the little chart and also has the lesson before us that is going to guide us as you and I think about what it means when we pray, Thy Kingdom Come. To do that, we turn our attention to Matthew chapter 13, story time, if you will. Matthew 13 is filled with parables. You probably remember the definition of a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, as Jesus takes something that we know and sets it alongside something that we don't know or don't quite understand, and he uses what we know to help us understand something new. The parable that guides us through our study of Thy Kingdom Come is very familiar, the parable of the sower and the seed. Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, Listen, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. Immediately the seed sprang up, because the soil was not deep. But when the sun rose, the seed was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it, but some seed fell on good ground and produced grain, some 100 times, some 60, and some 30 times more than was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. So listen carefully to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. The seed that was sown on rocky ground is the person who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he is not deeply rooted and does not endure. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed that was sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the worry of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it produces no fruit. But the seed that was sown on the good ground is the one who continues to hear and understand the word. Indeed, he continues to produce fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times more than was sown. This is the word of our Savior. Planted, producing. Two words that summarize what Jesus is talking about in this particular parable. And so as you and I pray, Thy Kingdom Come, those are the two words that are going to guide our thoughts. Planted, producing. Even if you do not have a farming background, you are familiar with the idea of planting. But the kind of planting that you and I are used to probably looks something like this. Maybe you use something a little bit newer or a little bit bigger. But the idea is the same. Planting is controlled. You put the seed where you want it to go. You put it in nice straight rows. That makes it easier for you to take care of it. You can set that planter to put as few seeds or as many seeds in as you want, depending upon what you are anticipating, what the ground is like. And so you're out there and you are controlling what is going on. And you put that seed exactly where you want it to be. So probably for modern farmers, we would tend to think that the person that Jesus is describing is just a tad reckless with his seed, especially when you think about how much it costs to go buy a bag of that stuff. Don't just go throw it around. And yet here is this guy who's just recklessly taking it and he's just tossing it wherever it happens to go. As you think about that idea of planting, Jesus uses that picture and he describes the different places where that seed lands and the different effects and the different results that come when it's planted where it's planted. So the guy grabs a handful, throws it out there, and some of it, somewhat recklessly from our point of view, lands on the path. That's a waste of money. That's where it's all hard, trampled down, walked down. This guy is not going to be feeding himself or his family later. The only thing he's accomplishing is he's feeding the birds. As it bounces off that hard ground, then the birds are there to snatch it away. As he continues on, throwing the seed around, some of it lands in rocky soil. Now that probably gives a little false sense of hope because the ground, very literally Jesus says, because the earth isn't very thick, not very deep, comes up pretty quickly. All of a sudden you can see some results, you can see things happening. But just as it came up quick, because the earth isn't very deep, so that means the root system isn't all that deep either, and as soon as it gets hot, there really isn't anything there to sustain it. It's just kind of shallow and superficial, and so it very quickly is scorched and quickly withers away and doesn't produce anything. Some of it lands among the thorns. And if you've ever had a garden or a lawn or anything like that, you know how those things work. They grow. Whether it's hot or dry or rainy or cold, it seems like the thorns grow well. And as the plant comes up and as the thorns come up, eventually the thorns overtake it, choke everything out. Nothing happens. But some of it lands where it's supposed to. Some of it lands in that good ground. And as it's planted there, then it begins to grow. And then you've got the crop that the farmer is looking for. So even though it may seem somewhat reckless to you and to me, Jesus uses this as a picture to describe what it means when you and I pray, "Thy kingdom come." As he describes that sower and how he went out to sow, and he thinks about all those different things, I suppose at a time, but it does appear to you and to me, that God is kind of reckless too. That he takes that word and he throws it out there. And you and I might tend to think, well, that's not going to work, or that person isn't going to listen. But God just simply says, "I'm going to get my word out. And I want it planted. And when it's planted, then it's established." God's kingdom is Christ's rule. Christ's rule that is established in our hearts by the Holy Spirit through the word. As Christ rules in our hearts, he takes this precious gospel, this seed that he is just throwing out there, and it lands on our hearts. Now, I suppose our hearts were, not I suppose, they were, our hearts were, when we were born, dead in sin, enemies of God. We didn't like anything that God had to say, and yet the seed did its work. And through that powerful Holy Spirit, you and I are now in the kingdom. God's kingdom has come. We're part of it as he gives us that amazing gift of faith planted there in that word. Thy kingdom come. God made that kingdom come to us as we come to faith and as we grow in that faith. Now the reason for planting is not just for the sake of planting in and of itself. It's a major part of what a farmer does, something that needs to be done, has to be done, if anything else is going to take place. But the planting is there because of the producing that you're hoping will take place. So as we start to think about some of the results, we are reminded of Jesus' explanation of this particular parable. Listen carefully to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and then he describes each of those results. And notice his stress on here. When someone hears the word of the kingdom, right? This is Christ's rule. This is his kingdom. When someone hears that but doesn't understand it, that person's like the path. God throws his word out there, perhaps recklessly from our point of view. He throws the word out there and it appears to just bounce off a dead, hard, unbelieving heart. doesn't like it, doesn't want it, doesn't understand it. He thinks this is nothing but foolishness. And Satan is more than happy to be right there, just like a bird, and he's going to grab that word, that powerful word, which is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe, and he's going to snatch it away quick before it can do something. As the word is out there, there are those who hear, and there's sort of this immediate response. Those that are pictured as the rocks. You've got this sort of immediate, perhaps emotional, superficial, excited kind of response. This is really kind of cool stuff. This is really sort of neat. And the person hears it and gets all excited about it. But like the rocks that are in ground that's not very deep, it's just kind of a superficial excitement. It's sort of a superficial reaction. And the roots really aren't going down very deep. And Jesus says, as soon as there is some difficulty, or as soon as there is some persecution because of the word, then their faith just simply withers away. We're always facing problems. We know there's difficulties in this life. But the superficial faith will often see the word as the cause. And if I am struggling because of what the word says, then it must be the word's fault. And if I get rid of the word, then life can be good again. And nothing happens. When someone hears the word of the kingdom, again, they're hearing it. But those are the ones that are in amongst the thorns. And as that faith begins to grow, and as they begin to see what their Lord and their Savior wants, you've got all of this other stuff. You got life. You got things that need to be done, and you got places you need to go to, and there is careers that need to be chased, and there's children who need to be cared for. You've got this, that, and the other thing going on. And so Jesus talks about the worries of the world. How am I going to make it? How am I going to accomplish what I need to do? And the deceitfulness of wealth. It's kind of interesting that Jesus picks up on that one specifically. The deceitfulness, literally, of muchness. Not a word that you and I use a lot. But you know what it is? You and I are living in a society, much like in Jesus' society, that keeps telling you all you need is just a little bit more. Right? Just a little bit more, and then you can take it easy. Just a little bit more, and then you can spend some time with your children. Just a little bit more, and then you'll be able to retire. Just a little bit more. Well, there's always just a little bit more. There is always just a little bit more that you could have. And the deceitfulness of wealth keeps trying to tell you that as soon as you get that little bit more, then you can be happy. Until then, you can't really be happy. And so those worries and that deceitfulness act like the thorns. And it just kind of chokes out that faith as we get all wrapped up in everything else that's happening. You can see Jesus' build, can't you? As he's telling the story and as he walks through those various results of the seed when it hits those different types of soil, you can tell what he wants. He's aiming for the good ground. And yet he's also describing how life works. But finally his goal is that there is someone who hears and understands. God's amazing grace has planted that faith in that person's heart, and now they understand. And when that faith is there, now there are some results. And here's the person who then begins to produce 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. As you listen to that particular parable, I suppose it's also possible for you to be thinking, yep, I can think of people like that. I can think of that person that I had a chance to share the gospel with, and it just bounced off their heart. They just brushed me off and told me that was a bunch of foolishness. I can think of people that I had the chance to share the word with, and immediately they got excited. This is really cool stuff. We're going to be there, Pastor. We are going to be there. But then life came. And the old habits came. And the moment that somebody started questioning what they were doing, the moment that what they wanted and said and thought didn't quite match up with the Word, well, then forget the Word. It just kind of withered away. Maybe you can think about people who were here, listening, hearing the Word, and they got wrapped up in life. Got all caught up in the worries of this world, got all caught up in the deceitfulness of wealth, got so distracted that now they just simply do not have time to be here. And there's other things more important for later. We can probably think of all kinds of people like that. And as we're busy thinking about those kinds of people, and as we're thinking, man, it would be good if they were here, then do this. Think about yourself. Every single one of us was born with a heart that's like the path. Every single one of us can go back in our own histories and we can think of a time when the Word was proclaimed to me and it just bounced off. I wasn't interested. I didn't care. I didn't want it. Every one of us can think of a time when we were more like that rocky soil. We got all excited, but the moment somebody said something at school, and if I would actually stand on the Word, I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb. The moment somebody says something out there in society, well, I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to offend anybody. Then we'd be kind of like that rocky soil. And we just wither away as soon as there is just a little bit of pressure that would make us stand up for our faith. All the worries of life. Just getting started, we got to buy that house. The children are on the way. Retirement is only X number of years away. How am I going to make that work? The car just broke down again. The water heater just went out. Some health issue that came up that I wasn't expecting that I need to deal with. There's the worries of life. The deceitfulness of wealth, we succumb to that just a little bit more, just like everybody else does. I need just a little bit more. Yeah, I know the church probably needs just a little bit more too if we're going to be able to accomplish what we wish to do. We're not talking about budgets in that little section of the update, by the way. We're talking about ministry. We're talking about God's kingdom coming as that gospel is proclaimed. And yet I sometimes think that I need just a little bit more. I'm not sure God can give it to me, so I'm going to hold back. That's us. But you see Jesus building. And you see Jesus going in His direction. And you see Jesus say that I'm looking for some results and I'm going to plant this Word. And even though our hearts on our own are more like the path and the rocks and the thorns, God turns it into the good soil. And now there are some results in our believing the gospel promises. You have forgiveness. All the times when you are telling God, I don't have time for you, there's something more important going on, that's why He died. He took that sin to the cross. He paid for you. And He set you free. And He steps into this world and He never let the worries get in the way and He didn't let society stand in the way of Him boldly proclaiming who He is. And He did all of that perfectly. Covers it. Covers all of your sin with His perfection. Pulls your sin away at the cross. And now by His amazing grace, even though it might seem a tad reckless to throw the Word at me, it's producing. We believe the promise. Heaven is yours. And when we believe the promise, then living to the honor and glory of God just naturally happens. We still struggle with the sins on this side, but now we're looking forward to that opportunity for that kingdom. Christ's rule in our hearts, put in there by faith, now beginning to live in praise and in thanks to our Lord and to our God. I know what He says. And now I have the chance to let others know what He says. Thy kingdom come. Planted, Christ's rule in our hearts through His Word, producing. As we now grow in that faith, and as we, as it says there at the bottom of your chart, ask Him to send His Holy Spirit to strengthen Christ's rule in our hearts, and then to spread that rule. He uses us. As amazing as it is, as the times that you and I can think of ourselves as not the greatest soil in the world, He uses us to expand His kingdom. He uses us to get others to hear so that they can have that kingdom established in their hearts and so that there can be results in their lives. And so we pray, Thy kingdom come. And as we pray in that kingdom, perhaps you're aware of the three kind of kingdoms that are described in God's Word. As soon as you hear about God's kingdom, perhaps you immediately think about heaven. We sometimes call that the kingdom of glory. God's complete and total rule. There will be no more sin. There will be no more death. There will be no more distractions and no more worries and no more deceitfulness. It's all gone. We also know that Jesus is in complete and total control of everything. Everything is under His feet. This entire world is His footstool. We call that His kingdom of power. As He guides and directs all the things that we see, all the things that we can't see, even the things that perhaps we're assuming is out of His control. That's still His kingdom. But this petition is mainly dealing with His kingdom of grace. The rule in your heart through His Word, as He brings you to faith and as He keeps you in that faith, and then as He lets you live that faith so that others can hear and others can know and others can grow. And as soon as you know about the kingdom of grace, then you're that much more aware of His kingdom of power, and you know you're headed for the kingdom of glory. And so, planted by His grace, producing by His grace, we now pray, Thy kingdom come. Amen.